Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be with you this morning. It's good to see you. I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. It's always a great thing to be able to gather with the saints and be able to praise God together and study from His Word together. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. I hope you'll be turning to Matthew chapter 5. With this sermon this morning, we begin looking at the Beatitude. And as we look at the Beatitudes, we're looking at statements that Jesus made at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount covers three chapters in the book of Matthew, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it is without a doubt some of the most powerful teaching in sermonic form that our Savior did while here on this earth that we have recorded for us. In these three chapters, the topic is kingdom living. He's talking about how citizens of His kingdom, members of the church, how they should live their lives. And He covers just a whole host of different topics. But He begins with the statements concerning our attitude. As you look at the occasion for Him preaching this sermon, He had been going throughout the region. And He had been healing those that were sick, those that were possessed, those who had other issues. And as a result of that, great crowds began to follow Him. And it's on this occasion, as this great multitude is following Him, that He took the opportunity to begin to speak to them. And He finds a spot, a mountain area, where He sits down and begins to teach. Each one of these Beatitudes builds off the previous one. We'll notice as we go, these are progressive. Each one leading to the next. And we're just going to look at one per Sunday. They're progressive in that way. Also, as you look at them as a whole, we'll see that the individual that's being described here is one that goes from sinner to saint. One that goes from not being a follower of God to one that is. One that goes from being someone who is lost to someone who is saved. They build upon one another. All eight of these Beatitudes begin with an announcement of joy. They begin with the word blessed. Friends, this joy that we're talking about, it's independent of the changes, the challenges, and the disappointments in this life. And because that, it, sometimes you'll see this same Greek word translated happy. But here it's not translated that way because it's not the happiness that the world thinks of. You know, the happiness that the world thinks of is something that's fleeting, right? It's something that can sometimes be elusive. It has no lasting quality to it. But this word here, as Jesus is talking about it, these are attitudes that are lasting. This blessing is something that does not fade. This is a blessed happiness, ones that comes from having a relationship with God the Father. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, he begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." With these words, Jesus begins his discourse. In order to embody this beatitude, friends, we need to see self as we really are. I must see self as I really am. If you looked at the bulletin and picked up, I put the verse on the front of the bulletin, and you might have noticed a mirror there. And you might have been wondering, I don't understand, why is there a mirror on the front of the bulletin with this verse? Well, this is why. Because to be poor in spirit means that I see myself as I really am. As we look at these Beatitudes, we're going to notice 3 points. And we're going to notice the same 3 points for each Beatitude to give us some continuity as we study this together. Number one, we want to begin by noticing the requirement. We want to begin by noticing the requirement. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Barnes says to be poor in spirit is to have a humble opinion of ourselves, to be sensible that we are sinners and have no righteousness of our own, to be willing to be saved only by the rich grace and mercy of God. You know, if you're poor in something, that means you're lacking, right? Well, to be poor in spirit means that we recognize there's some things that we're lacking in and of ourselves. It means that you and I recognize the fact that we're as sinners in need of a Savior. And that's what it means to be poor in spirit. I see myself as I really am, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. That without Christ's sacrifice, without God's grace and mercy, I would be lost. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul writes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." You think about all that Paul did, all the congregations that he established, all the individuals that he helped to convert. If anyone could have had a high opinion of themselves, it would have been the Apostle Paul, wouldn't it? I mean, he had done so much for the cause of Christ. I mean, if we stacked up what he's done, and I'll use myself to what I've done, that's a way bigger stack. But yet Paul's the one who's saying here, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He's telling us that we need to recognize who we are. We have here a person who recognizes God for who he is and recognizes themselves for who they are. To be born spirit means I see myself as I really am. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Friends, when we come to God and recognize without Him we're nothing. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about one who is poor in spirit. One who recognizes the need, sees the need that they have in their life for a Savior and His sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus in essence is talking about the same thing. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I appreciated so much the song that Mr. David has sung right before the lesson, because it illustrates that process that we're talking about of seeing myself as I really am. Because until we see that, friends, we're not going to seek salvation. We're not going to seek a Savior. We're not going to recognize our lost condition and the need for God's grace and mercy. Just like the person in the very beginning of the psalm, all of self and none of thee. That's a person who is not poor in spirit. That's a person who has not recognized the great need that they have in their life. Let's notice a few examples of some individuals who recognized that need, who were poor in spirit. David is an example of someone who was poor in spirit. You know, David had committed a great sin, right? As we talked about this Wednesday night, you know, we understand that sin is sin. But let's be honest, we rank sins. And if we were ranking sins, murder and adultery, we would put pretty high up on the list, right? David was committed those. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He committed murder, not in that he wielded the knife himself, but he put Bathsheba's husband where he knew he would die. David was guilty of those things. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you remember Nathan came to David. And he told David that story about that ewe lamb that had been slaughtered. And David was so angry at what he had heard. And remember, Nathan said, "You are the man." And in 1 Samuel 12:13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." What happened? David saw himself as he really was. He recognized his sin and he recognized his need for salvation. You want a picture of poor in spirit? Go home this afternoon and read Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David, believed to have been written after Nathan's confrontation with him about his sin. And you'll read of a man who is pouring his heart out to God because he recognizes the sin that he's committed and the fact that he is so much in need of forgiveness. Friends, that's being poor in spirit. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He had lived a life of sin. He took his inheritance that really wasn't due him yet, but the father allowed him to have it. He went off to a far country. He engaged in all kinds of debauchery, wasted all of that. A famine came in the land. He finds himself out in the fields feeding pigs. Now recognize that as Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience, they would imagine this man is a Jew. And what were pigs to Jews? Yeah, they were unclean animals. And here's a man who has fallen so far. This Jewish man is here. Not only is he feeding these unclean animals, but do you remember what it said? He would have gladly eaten what they were eating. But in verse 17, but when he came to himself, as he goes talking about what he would say, he said that he would tell his father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. What did the prodigal son do? He saw himself as he really was. He recognized that he had sinned and he was in need of salvation. The tax collector in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13 is another great example. Jesus told this very short, brief parable about a tax collector and a publican. You remember they both went up to the temple to pray. And of course the publican, as he prayed, the Pharisee said, I'm thankful I'm not like other people. I do this, I give this, and I'm especially thankful that I'm not like this tax collector over here. But in verse 13, but the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, that's poor in spirit. That's what Jesus is saying you and I need to be. Now, one side note for a second.
Amen.
This doesn't mean that you and I are not valuable. This does not mean that you and I do not have worth. We are valuable in the eyes of God. We have worth in the eyes of God. So don't take this idea of recognizing that I'm a sinner in need of salvation to the point that I beat myself down. That's not humility. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here. We are valuable in the eyes of God. But at the same time, you and I need to recognize who we are in relation to who God is. That He is Creator. We are the created. And we must recognize that ultimately without Him, we have nothing. We need to be poor in spirit. A sinner in need of salvation. Now notice number two, the reward. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, depending on the context, the kingdom of heaven can refer to two things. It can refer to the church, which is more than likely looking at the overall context of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, what is being talked about here. But it can also refer to heaven. And of course, in this scenario, both of those can apply. Those who are poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the church. Why? Because they're going to do what they need to do in order to have access to that Savior. In Acts chapter 2, a chapter that we looked at last week, beginning in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What did they hear? They had heard that the Jesus that they had crucified was Lord in Christ. He was the Messiah that they had been looking for, and they missed it.
And instead of following, they killed him. And at this point, they recognize that. Look, they become poor in spirit. They see their sin and the need for salvation. And so they cry out, what do we do?
And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You skip down to verse 41. So those who received his word, what word? The word that Peter just said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. These individuals that were poor in spirit, who recognized their sin, that they were in need of salvation, what happened? They were forgiven. In verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church number daily those who were being saved. Notice, those that were added were those that were saved. Those that were saved were those who gladly received the word. Those who gladly received the word were baptized. These individuals who were poor in spirit were added to the Lord's church because they recognized their need for salvation. And so in a very real way, one of the rewards for being in poor in spirit is the church. But secondly, we said also heaven. Friends, if we're poor in spirit, if we recognize that we're a sinner in need of salvation, we're going to seek that salvation, and then we're going to live faithfully. And friends, if that's how we live, then heaven awaits us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus says, my Father's house, there's plenty of room for everybody that wants to come. If that wasn't a case, why would I be telling you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, the reward for those who are poor in spirit is the church, and ultimately heaven is our eternal home. Now, obviously, there's more to being added to the church and going to heaven than just recognizing I'm lost. Now, the verses that we noticed previously in Acts 2 prove that. But this is the important starting point. For those who want the kingdom of heaven is to recognize the need that they have. That brings us to our third and final point. And that is the reason. Why would Jesus equate those who are poor in spirit to those who would receive the kingdom of heaven? Well, when we are aware of where we are, then we can actually get where we need to be, right? If we're driving somewhere and we get lost, the first thing I have to figure out is, where am I? Because until I figure out where I am, I can't possibly get to where I need to be going. I had to go out to my sister's house Saturday. And she's living in a different place right now. They're renting a house because they're going to be building here sometime in the future. And I've never been out there before. And it's out in the country. And I pulled up the GPS and it took me right to her house. Now here was the problem. I had come from my dad's house to her house. And now I'm needing to go from her house to my house. And so I get back in my car and I open my phone and I pull up the GPS. And guess what it says? No service. Now that can be a problem when you don't know where you are. I knew where I wanted to get to, but I didn't know where I was to begin with. Now, I figured out one road took me straight out to a highway that I knew, and then I was able to figure it out from there. But the first step is to figure out, where am I? Where are we wanting to get to? We're wanting to get to heaven. But if we're going to get there, we've got to come to grips with where we are to begin with. An addict will never seek treatment until he recognizes his addiction. You look at any program that's designed to help those that are addicted to whether it be drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. All of those programs, without exception, begin with a recognition of here's the problem. This is the problem that I have. Friends, the sin-sick soul will never search for salvation until that individual succumbs to the reality of the situation. That they are lost. That they are in sin. That they are in need of salvation. But when that individual becomes poor in spirit, when they see themselves as they really are, recognizing their lost condition, then that individual is willing to seek out God's will for his life, thus receiving the kingdom of heaven. Jesus stated it very plainly when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Friends, when we see ourselves as we really are, then we'll turn to God for the things that we need. And so I ask you, do you need to turn to God this morning? Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, will you see yourself as you really are? And that you're in need of a Savior? Or will you believe in Him? Will you turn from your sin? Will you confess that belief? Will you be immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins? Maybe you are a Christian, you've been unfaithful. Friends, take a hard look in that mirror. Realize the wrong. And then make them right today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Do you need to take hold of that kingdom this morning? Friend, if you do, we ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.